So, Bezras Hashem, I would like to finish the Perek. I'm going to learn basically two psukim. One pasuk Yud Aleph, Ki viyu b'yamecha v'yaseifu l'choshnois chayim. A pasuk which is familiar to us because we quote it in other contexts, but it comes straight out of Mishlei, pasuk Yud Aleph of Perek Tes. Kivi, of course, is referring to the Torah. The Goyin says, Kaloimar kishetidbak bi. I think what the Goyin is trying to say is that you need the dveikus of Torah. It isn't enough to learn superficially and expect these rewards, as it were. Kivi yirbu yamecha, and through me means bidveikus. Kivi yirbu yamecha. So, v'yosifu l'choshnos chayim. What does that mean? Does that mean that the person was allotted a certain number of years, and because he learned Torah, he is zocha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants him more of a number of years? So, the pasuk is very vague. Yirbu yomecha. Also, you'll notice right away that the pasuk speaks about yomim and also shonim. So, what is the difference between yirbu yomecha and yosifu shnos chayim? Ribu yomim, ribu shonim. And why is the Lashon yirbu and here yosifu? So the Gaon says as follows. Ki vi yirbu yomecha kloimar, she yomecha yihyu merubim. Ve yosifu l'chol shnos chayim, heim shnos shel chayim sheheim shonim toivais. So what is yomecha yihyu merubim? This says, marbe toira marbe chayim in pirkei avos. And he brings this pasuk in Pirkei Avos, the Vilna Gaon's Mipirush in Avos brings this pasuk also. Ki vi yirbu yomecha v'yosifu l'cha shnos chayim. So the yomim, it says, oirech yomim b'yamina b'smayla oisha v'chavod. Speaks about oirech yomim. The simplest pshat is really the most sophisticated. A person has days. What it means to have days, I don't even begin to know. There's a flow of time, but time is merely a measure of things, nothing more. So when we speak about having time, it means what? That the biology is continuing, the heart is ticking away. You measure the number of heartbeats per minute, you measure the number of minutes per hour, the number of hours in the day, and that's your day. So a person could be in a coma, and he could have years, and he could have days. Now, understandably, we are talking about days of activity, days of production, days of creativity, days of value. The time itself means nothing. And a person can use time in a positive way, and can use time in a very negative and very damaging way. You can do a lot of harm in the time that you have. So the concept of having time per se is just a marker. It's basically a coordinate, like space. So you have the three dimensions and then you have time. So time and space mean nothing as far as who we are or what we represent. It's how we use that time. Basically, it means how we live. The time passes by. There is another nekuda, very interesting nekuda. The Torah has given us mitzvahs that embrace the concept of time and define time or divide time in certain very precise ways. So when the Torah divides the time, l'moshel, between Yemei Sachol and Shabbos, a person's life is completely transformed. A person himself is transformed. It's loy ro'izeh k'ro'izeh. The Shabbos, Yom Tov, their measures are very, very fraught with the preoccupation with time. There's a concept of shkia. A minute before the shkia, person is potter. A minute after the shkia, or whenever the zman is for sure, the zman of Laila, a person could be chayiv. He could be chayiv misa. So the whole idea of time is suddenly become a different notion entirely, where the halacha creates the values of time almost independent of us, and we're expected to march along that beat. The best example that I can think of is something that Rav Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, used to say over and over again. Reb Chaim Brisker used to look out on the sunset at the end of Yom Kippur. And the way he put it, very poetically, but the gist of it is as follows. Everybody looks at a sunset, he sees a lot of beautiful colors, and he knows that the day is coming to an end in a very astronomical sense, and it pulls on the strings of his aesthetic perceptions. He feels a certain beauty in the shift between day and night and the transition which causes all those magnificent colors in the heavens. When Reb Chaim used to look at the sunset on the Mitzvah Yom Kippur by Ne'ilah, he saw only one thing. The Itzumoy Shal Yoy Mechaper B'Soyfoy De Kapara on Klal Yisrael. That's a remarkable idea. You look at the same phenomenon, and it is a demarcation of time. The day is coming to an end, and now the new day begins. Hayoyim Hoylach Acha Halayla. So the new day begins. So that demarcation of time for Reb Chaim Brisker was unique the night of after Yom Kippur than any other night. Now you have Man Nishtana Halayla Azem Mikol Halaylos. It's another extraordinary example. There's a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day. And we are fulfilling that mitzvah, interestingly enough, also in the context of time. In fact, there's a chiyuv to be Zechi Yetzias Mitzrayim. We mention it in the morning and at night. And it is the justification, says the Gemara, for including the parasha of Tzitzis at night in the Kriya Shema because of the pasuk, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Where do we derive this idea from? Zacharta ki Adonai Yisrael Eretz Mitzrayim. Whatever the pasuk is, that is a mitzvah of Zechira. But then there's a pasuk of Sipur. And the Sipur we call Haggadah, V'igadato Levincha Bayoyim Ahuleimah. That's once a year. So it's very remarkable. You think that the difference is that this is every single day, and this is once in the entire year. Nothing could be further from the truth. That is not the essential difference. As incredible as this difference is, and obvious, it is not the essential difference. You know what the essential difference is? That we are told that our sense of time on the night of Pesach is completely divorced from reality. What do I mean by reality? We are maybe in a higher reality, a greater reality. But the reality of the time passing and years going by, decades, centuries, and millennia, suddenly does not exist. We are coming out of Mitzrayim tonight. That is not a question of once a year versus 365 days a year. That is in its most essential form a denial of time. A complete and radical denial of time. We are not in the process of changing. We are there. We are there, mamish. That, by the way, explains a lot of things in the Haggadah, which we don't really have time for right now. But just give you two examples. Number one, in the Brach of Gal Yisrael, in Geula, we speak about Yitzias Mitzrayim and emphasize tremendously Kriyas Yamsuf. On the night of Pesach, we don't emphasize Kriyas Yamsuf, and we don't speak about Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Pile Ploim, Moshe Rabbeinu, the central figure. You know why? Because Kriyas Yamsuf hasn't happened yet, because we're coming out of Mitzrayim. And since it's the night of Makas Bechoris, the emphasis is Ani B'loi Maluch, Ani B'loi Shaliach. So we don't talk about Moshe Rabbeinu. It's very remarkable. And another thing that's remarkable is the shift in the Haggadah. This thing does not happen all at once. Because the human being does not have the capacity to be able to transition from a sense of time that is basically human and obvious, that time goes by, to an idea that time does not even exist. And we are there. So how do you make that transition in the Haggadah? It's the most subtle thing. But when you read the Haggadah carefully, you realize that is exactly what's happening. We are changing as we are saying the Haggadah. We are changing. How so? You open up the Haggadah and you say, V'ilu lo hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu sagoseinu mimitzrayim. Hari anu uvanenu uvnei vanenu mishubadim hayinu leparu b'mitzrayim. You know what that means? That's an extremely logical, reasoned statement. They were Avodim. They were in the Mentes Sharei Tumah besides. Everyone understands from many, many Mekoros that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not, b'chipazon, have taken them out of Mitzrayim right then and there, they never would have been able to extricate themselves. Having completely descended to rock bottom, it would be impossible to redeem them. They would become unredeemable. So therefore, it had to be now or never. What would have been if it was never? Then harei anu v'aneinu v'nei v'aneinu v'shubadim v'aneinu v'par Mitzrayim, in every sense of the word. In other words, we would be Egyptians. There would be no concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There would be no concept of Klal Yisrael. There would be no concept of the Avos. All of that would have been abrogated, gone, and forgotten forever and ever. That is a very logical understanding of the consequences of yesterday impacting upon today. Impacting upon today. By the time we read through the Haggadah, we say something which is very unreasonable. As reasonable as it is to say, if Avoseinu would not have come out of Mitzrayim, which puts the emphasis on Avoseinu in Mitzrayim and the consequences today. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Ge'olanu V'Go'al Es Avoseinu. It's an almost incomprehensible sequence. What do you mean, Ge'olanu V'Go'al Es Avoseinu? Even if you will say that there is a Ge'ula for us, as a consequence, then get the history straight. Asher Go'al Es Avoseinu U'Go'alanu. Why is the Ge'olanu before Go'al Es Avoseinu? Now you have the statement in Chazal, which is a Mishnah, and it's brought into the Haggadah. B'chol dor v'dor chaya v'odam liros es atzmo, ki'ilu hu yotzo mimitzrayim. The Rambam's Loshon, b'chol dor v'dor chaya v'odam laharos es atzmo, ki'ilu hu atzmo yotzo atam yishibud mitzrayim. It's even stronger, yotzo atam, ayim. Now, this minute, we're coming out of Mitzrayim. And Rava comes along in the Gemara and says, "V'tzarich lomar v'osanu hotzi misham." And the Mishnah says, "How do I know that I'm supposed to say that and feel that?" Liras es atzmo ki hu yotza. The answer is because it says, "V'gadol levincha b'yoymahu." Some later time, b'yoymahu leimor, "Bavu zoas Hashem." What do you say to the son? La bosai. Leave the Tzeisim in Mitzrayim. I'm coming out of Mitzrayim right now. You imagine, that's an incredible shift. You know where else we experience that concept? And this, this notion of time in Yiddishkeit is fraught with all kinds of radical ideas. Radical ideas. You don't find it anywhere else. Anywhere else. Not in any philosophy, not in any religion. You just don't find it. You find it in Avelus, in the Churban Beis Hamikdash. You find it in the Avelus of Churban Beis Hamikdash. The Ramban calls it Avelus Yeshona, the ancient Avelus. But the fact of the matter is that the night of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the night of Tisha B'Av, a person's feeling has to be k'mi al pi halacha, k'mi shemesoy mutal lefonav. It's an extraordinary thing. And you know, you need a transition there too. You can't just walk into a matzav of Misha Mesa Mutal Lefon. It's not Shabbat. In real life, that's unfortunately what happens. And then the Avelus recedes. In Avelus Yeshona, the exact opposite occurs. We start with a milder level of Avelus, and it reaches its crescendo on the night of Tisha B'Av. You know why? Because you can't suddenly become a Baal HaChurban Beis HaMikdash. You can't live in the tragedy of Megillas Eicha just like that with a snap of the fingers. It requires an incredible preparation. In the Haggadah, the preparation happens in an hour. But in the Avelus, it's much longer. It starts with the 3 weeks and 9 days and Shavua Shekal Tisha B'Av, and finally you come to Tisha B'Av. That's a remarkable idea. The purpose of all of that, in that transition, is to relive the Churban. To relive the Churban. So in those two opposite poles, Geula and Churban, we destroy the concept of the passage of time. Time ceases to exist. We are there. And the consequences, according to the Rambam, Al-Dobazeh, right, Fikach, Tiknu Chachonim, that this night of Pesach, two dinim,
come out of the Bechol Dor Vador Chayav Adam Liras Asatzma Kilu Asma Yotza Ata Mishibud Mitzrayim.
Namely, what are the two dinim? Hesei Badera Cheirus and Echad Be'echad Bein Anoshim Bein Noshim. They have to drink Arba, he says, Arba'a Kaisas Shal Yayin Derech Cheirus. So the point of the show and tell here is not merely a game that we play. It is the demonstration of the actual coming out of Mitzrayim. It's a paladika thing. It's just an unbelievable notion. Now, it's even more than that. Remember I told you the story of the Mara Fresser? There's a remarkable halacha that I learned recently with the Olam. I say a little halacha every morning, right after that. So it's in the Mishnah Berurah, black and white. You don't have to run to esoterics for him. It's right in front of your nose. What happens if a person doesn't have any Mara? Doesn't have Mara. So what do you do now? So the answer is you take anything that's bitter. Anything. Can't make a bracha al achilas Mara, but you eat it. What's the point? You should have the taste of bitterness in your mouth. Tell them the gazach. It's unusual. We shy away from make-believe, from baba maisis. Everything is categorized in a halacha. If it's Mara, it's Mara. If it's not Mara, it's a golden drought. So all of a sudden, there's an idea that bitterness is a value in its own right, so to speak. You have to remember the bitterness. The Torah says, Maschu bignus u'masayim b'shevach. You have to feel the bitterness, otherwise you're not coming out of Mitzrayim. Because you're coming out of Mitzrayim, it's not a joke, and it's not a game, and it's not a toy. It's the exaltation of being delivered from some horrible matzah. You have to taste the bitterness. That's what I told you, the Kotzke meant nach Mara Fresser. Because if you really want to taste the bitterness, yeah, something wrong with you. What do you want it for? What are you begging for? But that's the halacha. The halacha is that you relive the experience of the suffering and the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that is, it answers so many questions about the Haggadah. So many. But especially the ones that I mentioned before. Why there's no Kriyas Yamsuf, Esek. Very little about Kriyas Yamsuf, and only in the context of measuring how strong the Makkos were, etc., etc. It's not essential to the Haggadah. And as far as the mention of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the Chapel Otzel. That's a terrace. That night is in the Yuchat to the Rebbeinu. There's something very, very important also. Hakaras HaToiv is what did you do for me lately? A person cannot escape that feeling. It's an amazing thing. It's very hard to remember a good deed. It's hard enough to feel a good deed b'shas maisa. To remember a good deed is almost impossible. People move on. Again, there's this idea of the passage of time. Now, the impact of that good deed might be forever. Somebody got you a job. Person was without a job. He had no parnosa. Now he has a job. He has parnosa. That's for one day. That could be for decades. A person doesn't have a house. He needs to buy a house. He has no place to live. Somebody lends him money and he gets a mortgage. That's what it says. Well, naturally. So naturally is for 1 minute. All of these things are forever. But that's the way we are. If a person feels that he's coming out of Mitzrayim now, it's a different kind of Akaras HaTayv. It has to be a different kind of Akaras HaTayv. Because Hashem is doing it for us, not yesterday, not 1,000 years ago, but now. And that's why the Pasuk says, Ha'adoma Hashem nosato li Hashem, in the parasha of Arami Yavidov. Ba'ata hinei basi es gracious kopri Adoma Hashem nosato li. What do you mean, li? I got it from my father got it from my Zayda from his Zayda, Zayda. So by this time, it is so shakua in my mishpacha, that I feel that this has been mine since Sheshis Yemei Gracious, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized the world. Amad Vayemoided Eretz Roh Vayatagoyim, he gave this piece of land to me. And that, of course, does not require me the slightest bit of a purpose like to anybody or anything. This is from time immemorial mine. So when he brings the Bikurim, he has to say, Adama Asher Nosato Li. I got it now. I just got it from you, Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the whole point of feeling that we're coming out of Mitzrayim. That's another concept. Then there's another concept about time, which I mentioned over and over again. This is the most extraordinary mitzvah you could imagine. It again defies anything in any philosophy or any religion. Our problem is the stuff that's simple and it's in front of our nose, which is radical in idea and conceptualization. We don't even bother thinking about it. We're always looking for some vertical and some nice sense of this and some yes. When the aleph base is so enormous. So here you have a very simple idea. The Rebbeinu Shlom says, you are the masters of time. No, you are the masters of my time. No, you are the masters over me. Because you are the masters of time. How so, you might ask? Person makes a mistake, it comes with the wrong edus, they don't see the sun, the moon, they think they see the moon, it's a cloud, it's in a reflection, it's a light, it's a this, it's a that. Bottom line is they declared Rosh Hashanah anyhow. Now what? When's the Kippur? Atem afilu shagigim, atem afilu mezidim, etc., etc. So 10 days later, after this mistake, is the Rebbeinu Shlom says, I'm asking to judge the world, and I'm asking to bring everything with mishpat. So the whole of the Sinai Tokev, mi yichya mi yomus, mi bekitza, mi beloi bekitza, mi baraj, mi magefa, mi bara, mi batsama, mi baesh, mi ba. That is all because Bezdin decided that that is when the Rebbeinu Shlom is going to sit al kisei ha-mishpat on the entire universe. That's a cosmic idea. A little garnish, a bus of Adam, a Koritz Chaymer. It's Adam, Adam, you say that they offer the cycle offer. The same with the sign of Tokyo. And we're the ones who decide when it's going to be Nichya or the Yomus. Such an idea. That is the most awesome power a human being could be given by any potentate. And it's ours for the taking. And that's why it's the first mitzvah. Because to take somebody out of Avdus, you give them authority and power beyond the wildest imagination. That's a Ben Chayr. He's not a Ben Chayr, he's a Melk. He's not a Melk, he's an emperor. He's an emperor. He made them all emperors in a one flash, in one mitzvah. Chodesh Hazeh Lachem. And that is why this whole idea of Kivi Yirbu Yamecha V'yosifu Lecha Shnos Chayim has nothing really to do with time itself. It's just a concept that this person is a different human being, and the course of time is the opportunity and the proof of that. That's a person who's Dovek B'Toira has really eternity. He has mitzvahs that connect him to every moment of his past and every moment of his future. He has an Olam Abba that is timeless. He has a Trias HaMesim that is timeless. The V'yirbu Yamecha V'yosifu Lecha Shnos Chayim means basically that you transcend time in a thousand different ways. And that is only through the Koyach HaTorah. The Gaon says one thing here, very interesting. He quotes the Gemara. The Gemara is in Maseches Yuma Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. Very famous Gemara. Ki oirich yomim ushnois chayim v'sholom yosifu loch. V'chi yeh shonim shal chayim v'yeh shonim she'enam shal chayim. The Gemara is. If you have shonim, then you're alive. If you're not alive, then there's nothing to talk about. So what do you mean shnois chayim? You'll have years of life. If a person doesn't have life, he doesn't have years. So years and life are synonymous. So what is years of life? Yosifu loch shnois chayim. Are there then years that you have on this earth that are not of life? So the answer, by the way, is of course! 99% of the world and plus are living years without life. 99 plus are you living years without life. They're just a function of the previous moment. And whatever that has been ma'orah and created in them leads them to the next moment. And they're constantly seeking to get out of that cycle by what we call today entertainment. This is the machlo of the door today. To try to escape, not by assuming responsibility, but running away from it. Not by living a life of meaning and value, but living a life of emptiness and purposelessness. And that is exactly why it's shnois shel modus. But the Gemara asks the question. But this is very remarkable. There's a Rashi and a Marsha. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Eilu Shnosav Shal Adam, these are the years of a person, And what's the next few words? Hamishapchos olav me'ro'a l'toyva. That can be transmuted. They can be transformed from the bad to the good. What are we talking about? Rashi. Shemishapchos olav. Rashi is also a pattern. Listen to this. He was poor when he was young. He was struggling. He couldn't make ends meet. But towards the end, he became wealthy. He made it. It appears to him when he finally makes it as if he suddenly sprung to life. What does Rashi want over here? Ein shnosav shel adam hamishapchos olav meiro'a l'toyva. So that's ishonim shel chayim. What exactly does Rashi saying, and how did Rashi understand this gemara? You have to be a landed pasha to read a Rashi sometimes, even when it's agadah, maybe especially when it's agadah. Rashi says that shnos chayim means shnos that you discover that you're alive for the first time. That's what shnos chayim means. You're alive, but you don't have that you're alive. Why not? Because you're miserable. Because life is empty. Because life is full of all kinds of jagged edges which are cutting into you. And you don't want that life. So you're dead. When a person suddenly has an improved matzav, he becomes an usher when he was an ani, he suddenly begins to feel that he is alive. Those years are called shnois chayim. Because they're mishapchos mira'a l'toyva. So this is one of the many gemaras. I once thought of writing a whole mimer collecting these gemaras and these rashis. Where it's crystal clear to me that Rashi was speaking in riddles, in mishalim. In mishalim. Another example of this is Hay Alma Kibehi Lula Danya, but I'm not going to go into that. But the idea here has nothing to do with a person becoming wealthy. It is not Rebbe Elazar's business to try to explain a pasuk by saying that when a person suddenly becomes wealthy after he was poor all of his life, that all of a sudden he begins to live. It's true. Ani chashuv kemeis. That is true. And it's nothing to dismiss. And when, so what's the point? That if he becomes wealthy, he suddenly feels that he's alive for the first time. But as true as it is, it's much more essential to see this as a mush. You have people who their entire lives are mired in nonsense, in hevel of the Rambam that I always talk about, that the Rambam keeps repeating. The Ye'or Mishanasa. Think about it for a minute. When you are asleep, you are dead to the world. The world does not exist. Person's in his Olam HaDimyon, and even the Olam HaDimyon isn't real, because when he wakes up, it's all gone. So now, all of a sudden, you tell this person to wake up. It's like a baby, or somebody that came out of a coma. And all of a sudden, he looks around, and he feels that he's living for the first time. That's the pshat v'yasifu l'chosh n'ayishayim. Mishapchos mira'a l'toyva doesn't mean a bad material matzav. It means that the year has nothing to say for it. The value of life is missing. And mainly the person's dead. The greatest form of death is when the person has no value and meaning. That's much more than Ani and Suma and Misha Ein Leibonim. Because every one of those people has a redemptive capacity. But a person whose life is meaningless is Ein Leibonim because he has no products. He has not done anything for the world. He has not created anything. He has not invested himself in others. He's blind because he doesn't see the world. He doesn't see. He doesn't see the emes. He doesn't see the kedusha. He doesn't see the tara. He's blind. And he's poor because he does not have any mitzvahs and nice and tight. He is every one of these three wrapped up in one. And therefore he has no shnois chayim. That's what it is. It's very, very simple. The Marsha, interestingly enough, the Hainu Sheschus HaTorah VaHamitzvah shezachar heima yosifu lecha sheyu shnois hazikna shnois chayim mitoich misa shehi ha'anius shehoyu lekvar bialduso. A very, very mysterious lashon, because they're all worried about what does mishapchos mean. So you have one other example of this concept of mishapchos. Where is that? Zedoinos nasim loikezachuyos. You mentioned the Megillah. I want you to know, you said something very, very important. The Na'apokhu. The whole idea of the Na'apokhu. The concept of a Na'apokhu is that when you have this incredible Hatzalah, you realize that it isn't merely that before it wasn't going well, and now suddenly it's going very well. There's a transformation, there's a complete reversal of fortune, there's a different mazel. It's like saying Hitzdagninus Shofar. Avram Enoi Moilid Aval Avraham Moilid. You know when that happens, you always end up comparing yesterday to today. It's not enough today. There's always that comparison. Yesterday was Azoy, and now is Azoy. It's May Bira Amikta Igra Roma. May Ashpois Yorim Evyon Moshivim Nadivim. That's the Mahapecha. You know that when you're Meitiv a Cholom, you ever do Hatavas Cholom? And if you don't do Hatavas Cholom, we mention it also for similar reasons in V'yitam Lecha after Shabbos is over. It's three sets of Sukkim, right? And one of those groups are called Gimel HaFuchos. Vayahapoch Hashem Elokecha Lecha es HaKlol L'Vrocha Vilom. It's not pshat that Vilom wanted to be Mekalo A, and it ended up that instead he was Mevarech B. The Klola became a Vrocha. The words that he wanted to be Mekalo would transform themselves into a Vrocha. Like Hein Am Levodad Yishkon could be a terrible klola. You Jews, you'll always be isolated. Nobody will care about you. Nobody will want to be associated with you. You'll always be the pariah amongst nations. That's what he intended. And what is Hein Am Levodad Yishkon? That we are unique in the world and we are separate and apart from everybody else. The Kedusha, the Tara, and everything that counts. We alone were given the Torah. Nobody else. Hein Am Levodad Yishkon. So the same thing could be a klola, the same thing could become a bracha, vayafo. That's the nafochu. Asher yishlutu heima besoneha. It's not pshat that now it's good. The original klola was taken and turned over so that A is B and B is A, and now suddenly it's heima besoneha. And that's why a lot of Purim and Yonim have to do with that. The skies and things not seeming the way they are and so on. And the emes, all of this idea of haficha is that. So what's the pshat? The pshat is that the anius itself becomes transformed into ashius. It's not separate kufas in a person's life. That's what the mashua is implying. And of course, when you have somebody who is over averus all of his life, and there's absolutely no redemption to that. No redemption. And causes a lot of pain and suffering to himself and to the people around him, and does a lot of damage in the cosmos and makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu miserable on a regular basis. So that is not possible to fix, is it not so? How can you fix that? The answer is there's no such thing as time. That's the point. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you do enough of a tshuva that's transformative within yourself so that you are now that other person, then I will take all of that garbage and I will give you credit for the garbage. Zedoyos nasim loikezachuyos. That's an unbelievable idea. That's shnoisav shel adam shemahapchos. The anius itself is transformed into ashius. That's the remarkable idea of this pasuk. Ki vi yirbu yamecha v'yosifu lecha shnois chayim. There's one more pasuk that I wanted to speak about, which is at the end of the Perek, and the Pasuk is very well known, and something that the Bali Musar use often enough. Mayim genuvim yirutaku. The lechem sesarim yin'am. Let me first translate it, and then I'll tell you what the Vilna Gaon says about it, and then we'll say a few words of our own.
And with that, we'll come to the conclusion of what we have to say at this point, at least, the first third of Sefer Mishle.
Mayim genuvim yimtaku. There's a sweetness for the Rasha, which the Yetzer Hara knows how to manipulate to its advantage.
And that sweetness is because stolen waters are sweet. Mayim genuvim.
It's a very remarkable idea. We'll speak about it after we speak about after we bring the Gra. V'lechem sesarim, and hidden bread, lechem seser, lechem sesarim, yin'am, is sweeter. So you'll notice, of course, that here we're speaking about mayim on the one hand and lechem on the other. We're speaking about genuvim and sesarim. And we're speaking about mesikus, sweetness, and noam, which is also a form of sweetness. So l'cha'ayra, there's a redundancy. The Vilna Gaon says there's never any redundancy. So there must be a remez in mayim genuvim yimtaku that is different than the remez of lechem sesarim yin'am. What is it? So the Gaon says as follows. Mayim genuvim yimtaku v'lechem sesarim yin'am kloimar. Sha'atayra amra tavcha tivcha. In other words, when he says Hatayra Amra, he doesn't mean the Torah, it's written in the Torah. It means the Torah is speaking. Now, if you look in the beginning of the Perek, so we have in the Pasuk, Chochmais Bonsa Besa, that's the first Pasuk of Perek Tes, Chotzva Amudeha Shiva, Tavcha Tivcha, Moscha Yena, Af Orcha Shulchana. So we're speaking about the different Madregas of Torah, and if you remember, we spoke about Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara, etc. So he says here that the last part of the Perek is a contrast to the beginning of the Perek, which also speaks about these food items. But there they are referring, of course, to Torah. Here it refers to the opposite. And that's what he says. Kloimer, Shatayra Amra, Tavcha Tivcha, Moscha Yena. Behind the Dvarim Shehim Toivim Be'etzem. Aval hi Eina Oimeres Elo Lechem Sesarim Umayim Genuvim. Shehim Einam Toivim Be'etzem. Elo Ma'alosam Hu Shehim Genuvim Usesarim. Vehi Osa Zois Limosaik. Now this is going...
He's saying something which is incredibly important to understand. He's saying that when something is stolen, the reason that the person enjoys it is not because of its inherent value. Now imagine the following. A person goes and breaks into a bank and robs the bank. So anybody normal, if you ask them what's the point and what's the value and where is the excitement and the pleasure, they'll say, what are you talking about? He comes out with several $100,000 of cash in his pocket, which he can outspend, which nobody gave him. For sure, he took it for himself, and now he has it. So it's not the event, it's the fact that he has the potential now to enjoy life, to spend the money, he can buy a yacht, he can go on a vacation, he can buy a Mercedes, whatever it is that his heart desires. Now he has the money, before he didn't have the money.
Comes along the Vilna Gaon and he says there's a pasuk here, and the pasuk says that the reason that it has value to the chayte is because it's genuvim.
Now I have to tell you something. You'll never like this analogy. I need a Vilna cup to make such an analogy, but I'm going to tell you something.
The Rav used to say, Rav Soloveitchik, Zechayna Livracha, used to say, a pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says that an apikiris, a tzduki, or whatever, he came and he asked the question, you people, you Jews, you're all tzedrayt and tzemish. Gemara and brachas. Why are you tzedrayt and tzemish? Look at the seder of the prokim and tehillim, and you'll see how completely convoluted you are. You're all mixed up. Here's a pasuk that speaks about avshalom, and here's a pasuk that speaks about Shol, and he says, which is first? Is Shol before Avshalom, the Maisa of Avshalom, or after the Maisa of Avshalom? So why do you have it upside down? Because Avshalom is right at the beginning. So he answers him, you don't learn Smuchim. You don't have the whole concept of prakim and psukim adjacent to one another, teaching us lessons. We, Anan, the Dashin and Smukim, Smukim Ladla Oilam, we have no problem with that. There was a very deliberate reason why these prakim. What is the pshat? Because the pasuk by Baruch Me'ashalim is right before Loma Rok Shugoy. What's the, that's the most Goy Gumogoy. So somebody's going to come and say, Klum, Bein, Moire, Beloved, Klum, Eved, Moire, Barabba, Elohava, Hachinami, Hava. You'll have any questions about how is it possible that Eved is going to rebel, Goy Gumogoy, against Hashem, against his master? So the answer is, did you ever have a son who rebelled against his own father? But it happened. Look at the Maisa Vavshola. So Hachinami Hava, so the connection. So he asked the question, what's going on over here? So he said, a Meiridik Azach. Meiridik. What's the Kasha? The Kasha is, what are you asking? An Eved is Meiridik Tzorabo? It's Maisa Mechol Yoy. Every Eved wants to get away. Every Eved wants to rebel against his master. What's the Kasha? Did you ever see such a thing as an Eved rebelling against his master? So you'll ask that question, you'll wonder, how is it humanly possible such a thing? So the answer is that, is it possible that a son should rebel against his father? That's so unnatural. But it happened. Look at Avshalom. So it happens here, too. So he said, the pshat is like this. You have a master. What's the master do? He forces you, he taunts you, he gives you no privacy, he gives you no freedom, he gives you no life. So of course you're going to rebel against him. But what if you have a master and you feel that everything you have, that is of any value, of any importance, comes from that master? So then you wouldn't want to leave the master for a minute, because out there it's chaos, out there it's cruelty, out there it's terrible, it's dark, it's miserable. And here it's warm and fine and wonderful and perfect. And my master gives me chiyus, my master gives me that freedom. Ein lecha ben charen lo misho isik batoru. Why in the world should I rebel? Why should I rebel? So then you ask the question, and what exactly happened with Avshalom? He could have perhaps waited. Not getting involved now. Shlomo had the succession. Avshalom had. It's not Negeya. Avshalom rebelled b'chayu shalaviv. Why? What did he stand to gain? He could have gotten the Malchus v'menucha. Let him work on his father. He'll convince his father. His father will give him the Malchus. And then when his father is ifter, and he goes to the other mamas, Shava Chai and Mechol Chai, he'll take over the Malchus bin Eamon, and everything will be wonderful. What was there to gain by rebelling against his father? So he answered something that's so profound, it's so incredibly beautiful. And the comparison is beautiful, and that's my analogy. And it brings us to a Rambam. Remarkable, the Hemshach HaDvarim, if you have a little bit of a cup. The Rambam and the Pasuk really is understood almost to perfection from understanding what this whole Maisa with Avshalom. Because there's one thing that Avshalom gained. You know what he gained? He doesn't inherit the Malchus. He achieved the Malchus. It's his own cut. He's not called Ben David. You're not going to call somebody Ben David if you rebel against his father. And you want to know the remarkable thing? You open up Tanakh and you go to the Psukim that talk about Shlomo HaMelech when he built the Beis HaMikdash. There's never been so many references to a person's father in the entire Tanakh than David Avi, David Avi, David Avi, David Avi. Unbelievable. Because Shlomo HaMelech was the mirror image of this idea of Avshalom, the exact opposite. Dovah v'hifucha. He does not identify himself b'chlal as the agent of the Beis HaMikdash, as the builder, as the creator, as the Melech. It's everything because it was David Avi. And Avshalom didn't want that everything should be David Avi, David Avi. He wanted Kaychi v'yotzei. You know what he used to do? He used to stand on the highway, and people used to pass by, and they'd tell him his problems, and he'd solve them, let's say, surreptitiously, and he'd say, do this and do that, and everybody loved him. The pasuk makes an emphasis that wherever he went, they were showering him with flowers, they were the accolades, the praise, the songs of hurrah, Avshalom, 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 and he couldn't tire even from hearing his name over and over and over again. David? Who mentions David? There's no David.
That's what he wanted. Now you understand that's what the Gemara means. The capacity of the human being to rebel against the Bayre Yoimon. What's up with that? Just bizyonis inside. But the Ani, I don't want that it should come from Hashem. I don't want David Avi. I don't want Hashem Avi either. I want it's mine. I achieved it. A little pipsqueak of a garnish. And here you have this massive giant Kivayachal. And he gives him a zak. Kick in the shins. I'll show you. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't accomplish anything. And then he goes and goes like this. And he squelches into the ground and he's like a wafer. I showed him. Who's the boss? One of my children. I'm not going to say who. But we once, a real feisty fellow, when he was young anyhow. The Torah kind of like, you know, got into him. But in the old days, she used to go into the park, and all the mothers with the children would run. We're talking about a three-year-old. Anyhow, we're walking out of my sheriff's apartment in the Lower East Side, and we go into the elevator, and three giants, like, you know, from the time of the Gam B'nei Anokim Ra'inu Shom, you know, Achimon Sheshai V'Talma, they walked into the elevator. Three massive people. They looked like they came from the Ozark Mountains, you know, with those suspenders. Mamish humbly, I don't know where they came from and where they were going, but they were in the elevator. And we were in the elevator, on the fifth floor. They were ready from the tenth floor or whatever. So they're using up the whole elevator. And we have this, you know, the father, the mother, and this young fellow. And we sort of, you know, like we're trying to get in, and this is nish clean. So this little one decided that, you know, they're taking up too much space. So he takes his little foot and he gives him a zetz on his foot, like, you know. And he did that. I don't think it hurt him at all. I mean, he's looking at me. So immediately I said, you know, that, well, I don't know why their parents keep leaving this kid with us.
I figured it's pikuach nefesh.
It's not just the shadow that you go to see these guys.
But both Hashem and the guy, I think they got a kick out of it.
I just have to tell you something. That is the image that remains in my mind. A person rebels against Hashem. So, mamish, the guest, it's not my mind. So how does the person do these chatoyim? The terrence is, elamai ha'avohochinami ha'av. It's a sholoim because he wants, it's my malchus. I didn't inherit the malchus. It's an amazing idea. You know what Mayim Gnubim is? It's the bank robbery, not what you get from the bank. It's the robbery. It's the fact that you went against the authority. And if you kill somebody, it's even better, because then you're a master over somebody's destiny, over somebody's fate. I killed another human being. I am the master of life. I determine whether you live or die. And then I take everybody else's money. They worked for it, and I took it. This concept of kaitiv yaitzem yodi, of violating the law and acting as if you're the balabas, this is where it's coming from. And it doesn't matter how you do it. You can steal from a company, and then you're the boss, because the boss doesn't even know, but millions are going into my account surreptitiously, and I'll show you. You think you're lording it over me and telling me what to do. Meanwhile, I'm having the first and the last laugh.
Comes a Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah speaks about Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem. And it's not a Rambam that's very well known, unfortunately. But it should be something that everybody memorizes and knows Ba'al Peh. At the end of speaking about Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem of the kind that we're used to, namely, the Fahesya, and God tells you to do something, and whether it's the Gimel Averis HaChamurus or other Averis, etc., Avodah Zarah, Gila Raish, Shvichas Domim, or something else, the Rambam says as follows. Halacha Yud of Perek He. Kol ha'oiver midaitoi b'loi oines. Al achas mikol mitzvah s'amuris b'atoira. A person who wantonly, brazenly, consciously violates any of the mitzvahs of the Torah. It doesn't say any mitzvah chamura. He doesn't speak about chiyuv misa. He doesn't speak about avodah zarah gila rashi chesdamim. Achas mikol hamitzvos ha'amuris b'Torah. Bishot nefesh lahachis harei ze mechalel es Hashem. In other words, it's an aveira, and there's a punishment associated with the aveira, and something you're not supposed to do, and that everybody knows. But does everybody know also that if a person does an aveira wantonly, brazenly, it's also an inherent and immediate chilayim? Does it say in front of a lot of people? Does it say in front of anybody? No. In fact, I'll prove to you, because the next line of the Rambam says, what? Ve'im avar ba'asara mi'Yisrael, harei ze chilas Hashem barabim. So what's the first Chilas Hashem? Not the rabbi. It means by yourself. There doesn't have to be another person there. How could you have a Chilas Hashem if nobody witnessed it? You know what the definition of Chilas Hashem is? It's the reduction of Hashem. And how could you reduce Hashem? You can't really reduce Hashem. But when you, the Pipsky, gets up and steps on Hashem's foot and says, I'll show you, that is the definition of Chilas Hashem. Because no one has the ability... No, Eden has the ability to feel developed like that. But that's his pride and joy. That's his hanok, that's his nachas. That's what the Gaon meant. It's not the Aveira. Because you see, it's lahakis, it's not the Peyot. He doesn't need that. So what's he doing it for? I don't have a master, and I don't have a balabas, and I'll show you. And that's Chil Hashem. It's an amazing idea. But that's black and white. The chain. Then the Rambam speaks about the tzaddik who's recognized as a tzaddik and he acts in an inappropriate way. That's a different level of Chil Hashem. That's not because he is challenging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's because he's not representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. So besides the regular plain vanilla Chil Hashem of the Aveiros of Gila Rais, of the Zor Shuch Hasdamim, there are two other kinds of Chil Hashem. There's the rebellion against Hashem, Mayim Kedubim Yimtoku, and then there is the not acting like the proper emissary of Hashem. The latter is only possible if the person to begin with is a Talmud Chacham and a Yirei Shamayim and a Tzaddik, and there's something wrong with the way he behaves. This Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is not the same. He's not able. He acts in a manner that is not befitting his reputation and his station, so he's not representing a Kodesh. That's the opposite of Rish Rachman Aloka, the Shimon Ben Shetach that I always talk about. So here you have the most amazing Potsuk. Mayim Genuvim Yimtoku, says the Gaon. It's not the Mayim and it's not the Lechem. It's the Genuvim and the Sisarim. It's thinking that you can outwit the system, that you can outsmart the Ribbono Shel Olam. That you can tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, never mind, I'm doing what I want to do. That's the thrill, that's the excitement, that's where the person gets his high, because he takes this great, great, great concept that he says, I'm not going to see. That's why, you see, the Chafetz Chaim says he's looking. So you have somebody who suddenly gets scared. Looking, I didn't know he was looking. I wasn't fully conscious that he was looking. But then you have a person, and that's what this pasuk is talking about. He says, he's looking? Oh, even better. Adirah! Let him see what I'm doing. I'm taking away his fruit. So that madrega, the Chafetz Chaim, didn't even have a hava mina. He told him he's looking, and he took a ran for his life. But there are certain people for whom the etzem uvda of rebelling against Hashem is the nekuda. And that's what the Gaon says this pasuk is talking about. That he says that the thing itself doesn't even have any inherent value. The value is, I don't want to belabor the point too much, I've already made the point, but, you know, a lot of times, there's like a concept of Baboker B'tzeis Hayayin, that there's a part of a person that even when he's sober, has an intoxication with doing wrong, with like, it's like daring, you know, it's a daredevil type of thing in life. You know, I'll push a little bit, you know, I'll push the envelope. I'll do something that other people don't dare do. And, you know, you find it very often in babies. That's the kid who's a year old. A year old, could you imagine? 1 year old already. And the mama
puts the food on the tray, on the, what's it called, the high chair. And the baby
waits for the mother to show up.
And then he takes his hand and he shied the food onto the floor. And then the most beatific smile upon his face. Was it a pshat in this maisa that we just heard? If not, mayim gnuvim him talk with the I'll show you. The maisa, you gave birth to me, you control me, you tell me what to eat. Ichel dezod, nein, mamet, nein. Unbelievable. It's mamish unbelievable. So we're starting that way. Could you imagine? So it takes a lot of avoda to say, Rebbeinu Shalom, I machnia myself to you 100%, and if ever I wrong you, I am miserable because I want to be in Eved Hashem. And that's the end of the shiur.